All right.
The September 12th meeting of the South Kingstown Historic District Commission is called to order. Peter Nunes is not here. Karen DeSilva, absent. James Garfield, present. Carolyn Griswold.
Present.
Linda Stedman.
Present.
Richard Youngkin is absent. And Andrew Martinez is on his way. Can we have a motion to approve the August 1st minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
You know what, Jim? Let's skip the anything that takes a vote, like the approval of minutes.
Skip
down to...
I guess we'll go right to the old business. All right, we'll go to item number 6, which is old business. Discussion of update on the Wakefield National Register. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to, if we want to have a discussion from the property owners or feedback from the property owners.
If you want, I'll give a little bit of context, and we can go from there. Just out of curiosity, if we can show a hand, sort of, who's a property owner in the district? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, very much for joining us. So, as you all are becoming aware, the town has been working for a little while on trying to make sure that the Wakefield National Register district is up to date, because it was a district that was first put in place in the 90s, and we're quite a ways out from that. And then when we started looking at making sure the district was up to date, we realized there were a number of properties that right now you all are the owners of, but they're located outside of the district's boundaries. And so we started talking about pulling in those historic buildings that are located on the fringes of the district to see if we can provide some opportunities for those property owners out there, along with what comes with National Register listing. So that's a project that has been coming along for a lot of different little iterations about how we best steward the Wakefield district. But now we're sort of getting where the rubber hits the road on seeing those come, which is why we've reached out to you guys to let you know that we're looking at including your properties. So our thought on tonight was that we can give just a little bit of information about what it really means to be on the district for you all. I imagine that's sort of the purpose of being here, is wondering what sort of benefits come with it, if any strings come along with it, and what sort of the goal of the project is. So our hope was to have you guys come tonight so we could just talk about those pieces, give you a bit more information, and hopefully sort of get your support in seeking including your properties in there, because it comes with more benefits, very few drawbacks, and I think maybe at the end of that, you guys will all be in a better position to see where you feel on that for your properties. That sound good to everybody?
We're here for.
Okay, sure. All right, good deal. So if there is a specific question, aside from one of the 3 points I just hit on, you want to let me know, okay? You can let me know now.
I want to know what strings you're going to be attached.
Okay. Very, very.
So, I want to know. I have board review meetings if I want to push that up. I have things that if you want to do work on your property, if somebody's going to tell me that they're going to limit the colors I can choose, and I'm going to have to go through a board review, another board review to have a new roof put on, or to change the windows, or to tear down part of my building and put some of that up. Is I don't want another board review. I don't want somebody else helping me manage my property. I would like to manage it myself.
That's not really the purpose of the district. It's a nationally designated district, and it's different than, for instance, the village of Kingston is a local historic district. It's a regulated district. Changes to the buildings in the district need to go through the Historic District Commission. This national district, there's no regulation at all by this commission or any commission.
There won't be.
It's It would only, the only thing that would change that is if the town council voted to make the national district a local district, which isn't likely to happen.
Is this the only national historic district in the town of Southeast?
No, there's one in Peacedale.
In Kingston, there's individually listed properties. I'm Erica Luke, by the way. I'm the director of the South County History Center. But they're all through the town. They're all through most of the towns in the state.
Yeah, there's... So to clarify, a building permit were sought by a property owner.
It doesn't trigger anything.
No.
No. So, yeah, the a good and interesting way to think about it is that there's the National Register of Speech with, the National Register of Historic Districts, right, which is what we're looking to have your properties be included in. It doesn't come with those sort of regulations. If the difference, as Jim was pointing out, is that the town has to go through a process to create a zoning district and zoning requirements and guidelines if they were going to require approval for changes and change the district into like a regulated district. That would, by definition, require notification to all of you of public hearings at the town level. And at that point, which isn't actually a course we're set to head to, but say 50 years down the road, we are there and that conversation's different. You know, we don't hold the crystal ball forever into the future. There'd be a very different process we go through with you all to get there. This is actually, the purpose of this is really to, it's a nice piece that actually Erica says often, and I'm going to steal. It preserves the story of sort of how the area developed and the age of the buildings. It also gives you guys opportunities to tie into tax credit programs if you wanted to rebuild a facade or improve a building in a way that was in keeping with the historic character. So it gives you guys access to actually ways to keep the buildings historic, which is sort of our benefit, right? We're here with sort of, think about this one as more of a carrot than a stick, right? We can bring in National Register designation some resources that you could then look to use if you wanted to for your properties. It doesn't come along with requirements to go through the town to change things or any standards we would give you about the color you can paint things or how you can change them. You wouldn't have to do anything further than you need to now. There's a little caveat to that, this, and I do want to mention it, which is that if your property became like a recipient of federal funds, of state or federal funds, were you to, say, take your property and sell it to a school or something that was going to be used for a government function, or you were getting money in from a federal program for it for something else, in those scenarios, when you are listed on the National Register, federal projects and federal money coming into that property does actually need to comply with some guidelines. But that is a really sort of specific and narrow scenario, but it exists out there.
I have a question. If I'm in the process of putting solar panels on my building, and I'm going to receive some tax credits, what does that leave me if one of my buildings is not part of the National Register?
If your building is not part of the National Register?
I own 5 properties along Main Street.
Okay.
And I own one on Robinson Street.
Mm-hmm.
The one on Robinson Street, I'm in the process of putting on solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no boundaries. I got was from Ken about this meeting and about the move to historical register. Now, they've added a building on Robinson Street. The building's only 10 or 12 years old. I don't know how it stopped as a historic building, because when I built it, I was using ICF blocks and everything. Everybody thought I was crazy. It was a white elephant. We were allowed to, you know, there weren't any strings attached and hoops to jump through. But we tried to make it fit into the town. I think we did a pretty damn good job.
So that's actually something that we recognized when we wrote, when we've been writing these materials, that you did create a building that really does fit in with the community. I mean, we're very respectful of the buildings around you. Your building is only, it actually, that property was already in the historic district. Within the boundaries. So.
But that building was not.
The building was not, but the prior building was. So your boundary lines were included within it.
But there was no prior, there was no building in the prior. The building was torn down in 1971 or 1970.
Okay.
There was a little grocery store. When I was a little kid, I used to go into that grocery store. And they tore it down, and it was a driveway into the back property. And so there was no building there for probably almost 20 years.
So it's because that that lot is kind of like a funny lot. It includes the Griffin block buildings. Yep. So that's why it got pulled in, and because we're adding the post office in. But really, your building is considered not contributing because it is a modern building. You know, again,
you're adding the post office.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't on the map. That's the map that I got.
Ooh.
His building was added, not the post office.
Yeah, it's on there.
James Property Management?
Yep.
That would be it, wouldn't it?
It's on there.
Yeah, 238 Robinson Gates Property Management.
So that's the only building on Robinson Street that's being added that is of a historic value at this point in time now. And part of what we do is we document your building now to show, you know, this is what it looks like when it's in impeccable condition. And perhaps in 50 years or 40 years, it would be added onto the register.
But now, if it is better than it is in this historic district, how is it going to impact me when I go to
Does not.
So it's not going to affect the federal money?
No.
Tax incentives and everything?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the thing to remember, and it's kind of like a negative, but I think maybe for property owners it will give you some peace of mind, and the Larchwood Inn was on the National Register. Like, there are buildings within the historic district that have been drastically changed, and, I mean, Green Line, looked very different when it went on the National Register, I guess it's not in the National Register right now, but within the district, within the existing district, there are many buildings that have changed significantly since the 1990s, and they have not had any additional level of review. It's really about documenting the history and documenting the changes in the historical fabric of the community over time.
I have to say that the district so far and the buildings that are affected at that moment, the process has been relatively easy. When we go to do something, upgrade the buildings or renovate them, if you will, that process has been pretty easy, and I haven't had any roadblocks or jumping through too many hoops. So that's what makes it nice. And when we're redoing the old glass blower building, I had more of a problem with the town. Not town planners, but the building officials trying to redeem some of the historic value of the building. So it might actually be something that would help property owners.
Well, it's possible if a building is radically altered that it could be taken out of off the roll as a contributing structure in a historic district, in a national district. So, but as everyone's saying, there really is no regulation to what you can do to your building in a national district.
Is there any kind of guidelines or guidance about how much alteration would make a building sort of fall out of qualification?
Yeah, we have a booklet that we use for the district that has a lot of guidelines for what you know, what, the way that we try to steer people if they're, you know, when they want to make alterations to a building, that would be helpful for that. And you know, the Historic District Commission would certainly, you know, we, if you wanted to ask our advice, we certainly would help you to, you know, to make any decisions that, you know, if that...
is that publication publicly available?
It is. I think, Kayla, the booklet that we use, is that something that...
Is it online?
There are extra copies.
Yeah, but there, it's available. You know, it's available on the town's website. And it's also something you can get in the planning department anytime. We have hard copies that we can run off for people down there. But that is, yeah, that's a good one to, because it talks about how you preserve historic material. So if you wanted to take it and use it as a tool, in Kingston it's regulation. For you all, it would just be good advice, right, on sort of if you want to keep it building, the building contributing as historic, how you could do that.
And it's something that that was developed specifically for Kingston, but it is based on the Secretary of the Interior's standards for historic preservation. So it's you know, something that's quite common throughout the country.
Is there a distinction between the district and the register? I'm hearing, so it sounds like buildings in
the
district, but not in the register.
The Main Street is part of the National Register of Historic Places. The Village of Kingston is a local historic district that is regulated. You know, anything that happens to buildings that are in the historic district in Kingston, when they pull a permit, it automatically triggers, you know, they have to come before the commission.
But as it relates to this, the Main Street,
it doesn't...
You know, I understand that what you would imply, but being in that district, the buildings automatically go on to the National Register?
Yeah, they're part of it.
Well, not all the buildings. Some are contributing and some are not contributing.
Right, so that's what I'm trying to say. Contributing, and there was a building that was on Wayne's Lot that was on the register.
Right.
Right.
Well, that's where you get to that issue of, you know, how much historical integrity is still there. And so, and that's something I think that the State Historic Preservation Commission would probably also be happy to talk with property owners about.
So the proposal that you're making expands the district, but also includes, but also adds each of our properties to the register.
Correct.
And some of them are coming on as contributing resources, right? So resources that are intact enough that they are contributing to the whole of the district. Some of them come on as buildings that are within the boundaries of the district, how we draw it on the map, but are not considered to be contributing to the property. So Erica was just mentioning to me, Mr. Nelson, am I right?
Yeah.
On that? Okay. So, like, your building is,
yeah.
Your building is listed as located in the district, but actually would be considered non-contributing because it doesn't have enough of the historic components of it to be. So, your building would come on and considered to be not a contributing building in the district,
right.
Just located within that boundary. Versus as compared to, say, your building, right, which would come on as a contributing resource.
So, what's that mean?
Non-contributing, and I'm going to actually look to some of our other experts I know in the audience on this. Non-contributing buildings, my understanding is they're not eligible for resources. You're just located within the boundary. So like Mr. Nelson, your building would not be eligible for resources, but is just located within that boundary versus the Stedman's building, right, which is within the boundary, or the buildings that are within the boundary but are actually considered contributing, you would then have access to those resources like tax credit.
So is that
there a slide on it? I have not read my mind.
I was going to say, I knew, almost knew what I was saying, and I was across the street in the wrong place.
Which buildings are contributing versus non-contributing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so things aren't finalized yet. We're still kind of working through the last couple, but at the moment, the buildings that are definitely non-contributing are the Rawlings Building, the Purple Cow, and the Nelson Brothers Building. There's a possibility that the Partalow Building, which is the Tavern on Main, may not be contributing also. I think it's probably more likely than not that it will be non-contributing. Everything else would be considered contributing. And your building on Robinson Street as well.
The Muse?
So, just as a curious question, what is the rationale for having a district encompass property if the structure on it would be non-contributing? In other words, I guess I'm not clear on what makes the borders of the district, because if it's not based on the character of the building, then what's, in other words, all land is historic.
Well, just to have a contiguous district, so that it's not a building here, then a quarter mile of non-built, not district, and then start up again. So.
When we've been working through this district, we actually talk quite a bit about where the edges of it start, right? Where is the place where you get to where there's enough historic material that you can feel that you've entered a different place? So we try and identify firm edges to the district or solid edges to the district, and then within it, the nature of land development, how things have changed over time, there's pieces in between that vary a bit, right, contributing or not, but the district boundaries end up being drawn to create a sort of whole where we say this is where that concentration is solid enough with the edges, et cetera, to create a place.
And I think our concern really is what happens in time. Like you're going to be 10 years down the road, and this may be looked at differently, and we may be held to a higher standard if we involve ourselves now. Now, we may be non-contributing now, but then it shifts over, or is it a length of time or an age that these buildings are? And, one of the other things that concerns me is it seems like a lot of this happened, and then, boom, we got a letter, we're almost done with this, and we're going to tell everybody. And that's kind of what it feels like to me. And it's like we're pretty far into this, and we're going to tell the people who it's going to affect. So that in itself puts me sort of, okay, I got to figure out what's going on, and I got to do an article so that I'm not affected, or if I am affected, how am I affected? And that's a good concern. I mean, anybody would be like, ooh, the planning of the letter was like, we've been doing this for a while, and you just said we've been doing this for a while. Well, we're just finding out. So that's a good reason for us to all come show up tonight and find out what's going on.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's important for us to be, if we're involved, please include us in the conversation. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. And if it's not going to affect us, is it not going to affect us forever, or is it not going to affect us right now? And so that's the part that I need to be.
Yeah, and I think I'll circle back to it, because I think we hit on it in the beginning, but I understand that it is sort of the predominant concern of a property owner. Were I a property owner, it would be mine as well.
Yeah.
And so the piece is that were that to ever change and it to become a scenario where there were going to be regulations put on you, or the district was becoming a regulated district more in the way we're saying Kingston is,
yeah,
we would be going through a process where we would actually be rezoning your property. We'd be creating a zoning overlay district that goes along with your property, and that process is entirely separate from this one and far, far more involved, because it would actually be making changes to what you can and can't do. So this action right here is not a precursor to that action. They would be fully separate things. So I can't promise you that in 30 years there would not be a change that goes there, just because I would be foolish to make a promise to you I don't have control over. But where we sit right now, this is not a step that is a precursor to that, and it is not our plan to have that become that for you all.
Okay.
As a follow-up to that, is there anything in your committee votes or minutes that reflects that intention? And if not, could that be added?
To not have it become a district?
No, not. I know you guys can't promise the future, but the idea to memorialize this present intent that what we're doing today or now or this part of this project, the intention is not to lay the foundation for future changes. So in the future, a future body can have that intent, but the idea is somehow to express that this body, evidently from what it sounds like you're saying, does not have that intent.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the minutes from this meeting will catch it for you, actually, in truth and in full sort of forward thinking on it. The other piece to know is that if that was to happen, it would not be this committee that would be doing it. It would actually be the town council and the planning board, likely with some input from this committee without question, but it would actually be some committees who have different authorities on the town's behalf who do that work. So the minutes from this will just reflect what our intentions are now. But if that were to ever change in the future, it's actually through different entities than this entity that change would be being made.
Thank you. I'm sorry, may I ask, Donna, is there any kind of, for those who are here whose properties are affected, is there any kind of an opt-out process or way to make that known if someone says, hey, I don't want to be on this register, or I don't want my lot to be considered? I get that there's an interest in keeping maps contiguous, but Is there any way for these folks to make their, if they have that intention or not, for an opt-out process?
Yeah, so I think the opt-out process actually comes with the state, right? Because in reality, it's not that this committee doesn't make this decision. It's actually the state review board, the Rhode Island Historic Preservation and Heritage Commission, the state agency, who actually makes a determination here, who actually starts making some decisions and votes on this. And so their hearing is scheduled in the beginning of October. And my understanding is that is sort of the opportunity where you might say you would like to opt out. It's certainly our goal to try and keep people on board unless there's a real sort of flaw to it, because we see it as a benefit, and we very much want to see sort of the project go forward in success. But if someone had a strongly held reservation, that's my understanding on it. I'd be curious if Erica or anybody has a sort of more information or something different on that.
I think there's some information on the Rhode Island Historic Preservation website, the commission website, about for property owners talking about how you could opt out. I'm fairly certain it's, I think it's, if you just Google Rhode Island Historic Preservation, Rhode Island Historic Preservation and Heritage Commission, their website will come up. But we can certainly get some more information also and send it out if that's something that you want to know more about.
I was going to say, I know I have at least one contact amongst people, but if you want to leave others, it's a question that we can sort of help send you links to the reference on. So, and it's our goal to make this as clear and straightforward for everybody as possible. So, short of having you all feel like you have to dig through a website and find what's relevant, we could send what's relevant to you.
And just to understand where this is in the process, so correct me if I'm wrong, but this commission has already sent forward the list of properties that it deems to be included, and now the state will vote on it? Is that where we are in the process?
We're kind of in the middle. So there's kind of two processes going on. One is the updating of the existing district. And so that is basically, we do a lot of research, pull together photographs of buildings now versus what they looked like before, evaluate if there's been any changes. Maybe they're better now than they used to be and they become contributing versus not contributing. Some things like the Muse building used to be two contributing buildings. They are now going to be a non-contributing building because they've combined the two buildings. So things like that. Then there's the boundary increase. Now, that's again a piece of trying to do the research to figure out whether or not it makes sense for your buildings to be deemed contributing or non-contributing, and whether it really makes sense to increase the district at all. So it requires a lot of work up front before we can even get to a point where we say, okay, we feel pretty confident that it makes sense to include these buildings.
So which one of those two tracks is being voted on in October?
Both.
Oh, okay. And again, just so I can understand, you're saying that the work on one of these is complete and the other is not, or they're both incomplete?
They're both drafts are with the State Historic Preservation Commission, and they're the ones that determine whether or not a building is contributing or not contributing. We can say, based on what we see, what we think, but the state really makes that determination. So they're still in the process of making those determinations.
How about, so if I'm a non-contributing building in a historical zone, well, actually, it doesn't really matter. I can do whatever I want to, I don't.
Either way.
I can take part of it down.
Yeah. You could take all of it down if you wanted to.
Put something different in front. Mm-hmm. And this board, and no, right now, no other board has got to review that except this.
Nope, and nor are we asking that it would. It's our hope, really. You know, I'm going to zoom it back and get a little pie in the sky on you guys for a second. But the sort of purpose in doing this is that we recognize that there are a lot of historic structures and buildings in Wakefield, in Peacedale, really all around. We have actually a section in Matunic. We have a lot of historic buildings all around, just because it's an area that's been developed for a really long time, and there. Our goal is to try and bring as many resources to people to keep historic buildings telling that story of the past as they move into the future as we can. And so that is really our goal here. Our goal is to get it so that we can acknowledge the story of how we became where we are, how Wakefield has developed over time from that mill village to the place it is today, and how we can make sure that people have every tool available to them to keep those historic buildings, which we cherish and we imagine you all do too, keep them vibrant and historic and intact as long as possible. It's not our intention to require anything of you all. It's just really to help you all in whatever way we can be stewards of these buildings.
Sorry, just a technical matter. I'm sure I can follow up with emails, but does anyone know if there's any kind of a cutoff deadline to get on the agenda for that October State Commission hearing?
So that's totally running through the state. So we can get more information about if you did want to opt out, you know, what you need to do, if there's something you would do in advance of that meeting or after that meeting, but we can certainly get you some additional information.
You're Mr. Tribbiano, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Kayla Gray. So right now I'm making a little list of things to send to you all. I don't know if that gets to everybody who is in the room, so if it doesn't, just give me your name and email address, and I'll add you onto the list and make sure we get that out to you. So right now I have sort of what the opt-out policies are and if there's a deadline for getting off of or getting onto that agenda. Shortly, within the next week, I would say, you will all actually receive a letter from the state about when the date of that hearing is. So I imagine a lot of that information is forthcoming in there, but we have the contacts at the state now that we can sort of front load some of that for you guys because the question's in your minds now, so we can help you get an answer to it.
Thank you.
I'm going to take my constituents out of here. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a contact. So if that gets to you, we'll get that to you.
All right, I think we'll go back to the approval of the minutes, since we can vote now.
I move to approve them.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion's carried. Correspondence?
I actually do have correspondence for you all. I have correspondence from the town, from Amy Reiner, who is our Director of Administrative Services.
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to pass you that to you all. It is very, very glamorous and exciting. It is actually, the town just updated our sexual harassment policy. It's actually not sexual harassment, it's all harassment policy, to apply to everybody, board and committee members too, and not just, it used to be like a staff only policy, and we realized that it's important that sort of all of our work be covered under this. So that this here, what you're getting is a memo from Ms. Reiner describing sort of the overviews of it on the first page. The second document is the town's policy. And the last sheet is a sheet for you all to take home with you and kindly return to me, which is an acknowledgement that you have read, understand, you've received, read, and understand what the policy is, and, you know, sort of agree to live with us in good neighborship with one another.
It's going to make it so boring.
So that is the communique for you all.
Okay.
So I can just pull out one of these.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, you heard that one, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I think it's been in all of our emails.
Yeah. It's not out to you all in email, but we're bringing it to everybody in hard copy just as a benefit.
I can see we're going to have to radically change the way we do meetings.
Yeah. To shape up.
All right. And the update about activities, planning department activities.
What's going on in planning department activities that you all would be interested in? I don't know that there is anything particularly related to this right now that I have.
Why is it on here?
You know what? It's a standing agenda item that is on every single agenda and every board and committee
that is
run out of the department.
I never even noticed.
I don't think it used to be. I think about... Within the last year, there was an effort to get them all standardized.
Uh-huh.
And so that's when you actually started seeing this new business, old business, this little format piece.
Right.
So we always have it there just in case anybody wants to ask us what we're up to or we have something that we're up to that we think you guys all should know about.
So you're acting.
Yep. So I am your acting planning director for at least the next few weeks. We anticipate that the town is going to go. I anticipate that the town. We're going to go out for the position will be advertised, and we'll sort of see where it goes from there.
And the next item will be the application for a certificate of appropriateness for 2590 Kingstown Road, and. Are you Mr. Luke?
No, I'm the manager.
Oh, okay. Would you like to go over what it is you're planning to do?
Sure.
If you could just state your name for the record.
Mike Montero.
Okay.
M-O-N-T-E-I-R. Shall we discuss first?
What's that?
Which part do you want to discuss?
Well, it seems that, looking through this, it seems that all of the things that you want to do, I don't think any of those have ever come before the commission to get approval for any of those doors or the sign. It seems like things that have just been done over the years, and this was triggered by the building code violation.
Correct.
Yeah, could you tell us what that is? It's a little looks like doors opening out instead of opening in. Is that one of them? It's the only one I was able to.
Yeah. So there's two units in the building that have their own entry door. So for years, This has just been, from a practical standpoint, I've always thought, gee, it would be good to have a storm door, because all of the other apartments that are in the building, they open into a hallway.
Right.
There was a tenant that came in the summer, and, you know, just like I normally do, I mentioned, hey, this is an idea. I had no idea that it was an actual code to have a screen door. So this woman, there was an issue with this woman. She had issues with a couple of the tenants, and she was upset with me because I didn't support her. And in turn, she called the fire marshal and the building inspector to try to, you know, stir things up, I imagine. But so, and that's what they found. One of the things was that
I didn't realize you needed a screen door either.
Yeah.
A storm door.
You do have to have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, something about airflow. I think I've spoken to the building official in four meetings with you, if Wayne's mental.
Correct.
You know, something about storm doors needed for screen purposes for airflow in apartments or something of that sort.
Oh, if it's an apartment as opposed to a home.
And I think it's because it's a living space, because these units are maybe 12 by 14, so they're not big. And I know it's kitchens, so if you have a restaurant where there's food storage or food preparation, I think that falls within the code. You're required to have a screen door, and then the living area. So as far as the door opening in or out, currently they open out, but
you can't have a storm door on that.
Exactly.
Right, with the swings going on.
So because we have storm windows, the aluminum storm windows, that's where the idea was to change the door itself so that it swings in, and then install an approved aluminum storm door / screen.
And one thing I noticed was that the doors are solid, what is it, metal doors?
Solid. They're steel.
Yeah. So have they been that way for a long time? Is that something that would have been approved?
No. That was my point about them. You know, things have been changed over the years without going through the commission. And it's always a quandary for us because, you know, now here we are. We don't really allow metal doors on buildings in the commission or in the district. And but you know, what do we do at this point, because they're already existing?
I think there was work. So I moved there. That's how I ended up becoming a manager. But that was in 98. The building hasn't changed. The previous manager gave me his story. And I know that in the 80s, there were some things that happened.
The building was radically changed.
Yeah.
In the, I think, 70s or 80s.
Yeah. It was like
sort of gutted the interior.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why they now have false windows. With the brown insulation, because they had to maintain the historic view from the outside. That's how it's explained to me. So I'm not sure if the doors were put on then, but
yeah, probably. That would be a good guess that that's when that happened. The
It doesn't seem as though the new screen doors and storm window, I mean storm doors, they look like they'd be appropriate enough.
Yeah, pretty unobtrusive. Yeah. And the thing with a storm door, you know, can always be changed.
Yeah.
It's nothing permanent. And I think from my standpoint, I would have a bigger objection if this was something that was facing the street. That, you know, I mean, there's sort of an annex to the main building, right? This is to the east of the building, and it's these doors actually don't face the street.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
They face the building or away from the building.
Correct. There's one, the one where the woman that filed a complaint is actually on the rear of the building. And the other door, I added that in because if it's a code violation for that room, then, and then we only have two, and that one there is the east addition to the original building, and even then you can't, when you're on 138,
So neither the one of
perpendicular to 138.
These doors don't face 138.
No. And the door that you want to put in, it's a fiberglass door.
No metal.
Is it metal? This one.
Correct. The door, honestly, could be any.
Material.
Yeah. It was more to the storm door.
Would it be reasonable then to ask to go to a wooden door? Or? If it doesn't matter, they're going to have to buy a new door.
Yeah. I mean, would you consider putting a wooden door instead of a metal door?
Sure.
We would rather see a nicer wooden door than a metal door.
What is this one here?
Steel.
The one that's these are metal doors. That were.
What about the, see how that door is flat? A slab door versus the
panel. It would be better if it was paneled.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could put panel door.
I mean, this doesn't look bad, but if you could get it in wood rather than the metal, it would probably be a little bit more in keeping with the building.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And I mean, certainly the storm door that you've picked out is perfectly probably acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I certainly would vote to approve the storm door and the other doors. We'd say if you could do them in wood, that would be, you know, certainly an improvement over the slab metal door that's there now. And the other item was the sign. And I guess the bone of contention with that is that it was just moved. Did the building official say something about the sign? Or?
No, that was in email. We spoke on the phone last fall, actually, because I think I called to ask about the chimney or
something or other. Mm-hmm.
So, and I tried to explain in the email that the sign, the picture, that's why I put
this one. You have a rod here that says where it was originally.
Right. So there was a metal post, but what I was trying to explain is that the actual
sign itself, as long as I've been there, that's been the same sign.
Same sign.
And there was some gentleman that I never saw the guy come, but I'm guessing that there's someone that goes and puts wreaths on all of the doors during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed it was the same guy that was doing this, but that he would take the sign down, restore it, you know, paint it, and then hang it back up. Because I know personally, I've never done anything with that sign. It's the same sign, but it was maybe, I don't know, 12, 15, it was a while ago. The guy put his ladder up. I wasn't there again. Someone told me, put the ladder up to put the sign back, and it was rusted. So it fell down, he fell down, and that sign has been in our closet for 12 years. So then, but there's a tree. I should have taken a picture from the other side, but the reason why they put the sign on the other side was because there's a tree now that's, you can see the shaded
tree mm-hmm. now,
but they moved it over, and there was a telephone pole that was there, but it was more of a visual location of putting a sign using a wooden post.
And so the other one was a metal post that it was on?
It was a metal post.
So this is the driveway that goes into the parking lot now?
Correct.
It's next to the driveway.
And it was more of, hey, this sign has been in the closet for all these years, and no one other than there's a little placard on the porch that says Kingston Inn. No one has known that the Kingston Inn was there because his sign's been in the closet.
Well, it's up now.
Yeah.
And is there a...
Yeah, I mean, it's about in the same location relative to the street, distance from the street.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have...
Any problem with a post? And they said we were going to paint it.
Yeah.
We never. I noticed the church.
It's the same sign that was there before, so I don't really have any objection to it moving.
Is there anything aesthetically that could improve the post? I mean, other than
painting it? They were talking about painting it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the church has a, and I don't know what the name of it is, but there's a, I noticed it has like a little...
A finial or sort one
that
continues above the horizontal, like if you put it on top of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can almost see it. You can almost see it in the pictures. The church sign beyond it.
Yeah.
How it extends up.
Oh yeah, right.
You guys are describing.
Yeah. I wonder if it's in the guide somewhere. We could just gussy it up a little.
I should have applied for the chimney that is falling apart, that we need to repoint. That's
why we spoke.
That's why we spoke, but it had gotten too cold. But I put it.
We try and be pretty painless to come back to.
Well, I don't know. I think the post is fine. Maybe just you could put a little finial or sort on.
Yeah, it would
probably just make it a little more finished. And you were talking about painting it, which would
look better.
Look a little better, yeah.
A little fancy. Not so utilitarian looking.
here. You know, it's just a little too crude, I think.
Yeah.
I think they have those things you can buy, haven't you, that just fit on top of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
Something tastefully colonial.
Yeah, and Arnold's. Or
yeah, just go to Arnold's and West Kingston. They probably have some different finials that would fit on the 4x4.
Right.
So I guess we just need a motion to replace. How many doors is it all together?
Two.
Just two. Replace the two doors in the annex with paneled wood doors that will have clear view screen storm combinations, I assume that is.
Correct.
And that will, I guess that you'll pick a white door. You know, they could probably come in white or green or something.
Yeah, the white, that was actually, I plan to ask which was better. We have white aluminum stone windows, but then the trim is green, so I didn't know which would be preferred, a green trim stone door.
What are you thinking about for the main door, the door, have it a dark green door? The outside doors? Mm.
Yeah, if the door was going to be green, probably the storm should be green too.
I would say so, to draw the least attention to it. So.
Yeah. And I guess we can approve the new location of the sign with the condition that that the 4x4 is painted and add a finial to the top. And I guess we can we need a motion.
I'll make the motion to.
Second it. Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion's carried. I guess you're all set.
Do I need to?
Tim can give you the detail or I can, but you'll get a letter. So what will happen is I'll draft the letter. It'll be signed by Jim to assert that it was correct and everything was in there. Once we get through that process and it takes maybe a week, you'll get a letter from us. Well, actually, honestly, I will try and move faster because I know this isn't an issue for like a minimum housing standard violation. So we won't dawdle on it, but we'll get you that letter, and we also provide a copy over to Wayne's department. And so at that point, once you have that letter in hand, you're set to pull whatever permits you need to remedy the doors. Or if you don't need a permit, I don't know whether you do through the building department to switch out the doors. But yeah, I would check with them and see if you have. But either way, once you have that letter, you have the authority to make changes as discussed tonight.
Okay. And then do I need to notify the committee when it's finished?
No.
Or?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
And I will submit another application for the
repointing the chimney.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item is election of officers, and I think we probably want to put that off until we have a full
some more victims.
Full house here. Yeah.
Do we want to get like a motion in a second to just continue it too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could we get a motion?
Okay, move to continue it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's carried. Next meeting date and agenda items.
So your next standing scheduled meeting date is the 1st of November or whenever that date falls, but I think it is actually the 1st of
November. Do we actually have to do it on that?
No.
That's only so that we have four meetings.
Yes, exactly. That's only to forecast out your four meetings. You guys have had more than four meetings.
Yeah, why don't we put it off until until we get another application?
Yeah. I was going to tell you, I've been talking with Helen Rodrake from the Kingston Congregational Church about something she wanted to do on the church property. And so we may or may not see an application come in from her. And so I just said, whenever you get the application in, we will pull together and review it for you. So we may be seeing that come in sooner than that, but
okay.
That seems sort of tentative to me. So we'll just sort of see how that falls.
All right. Sounds good. And I guess we just need a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.